Joe, how are you?
What up, JP?
What's up, guys? I do have pickpocketing in my past, but it's probably not what you think. I went to a high school where we had to wear a uniform, so everybody had their Oxford shirt on. And, you know, the rambunctious boys amongst us, we thought it was funny to go up and rip people's pockets off the front of their shirts. You could just literally snatch them off. And then if you didn't have a pocket, you got written up later in the day for a uniform infraction.
You damn thug.
So he was, a pickpocket. Literally.
Literally picking people's pockets off of their shirts.
God, that sucks. I'd be so mad. But also, like, my group of friends definitely would have done that if we would have gone to a school that had uniforms. Like,
really?
I definitely would have got my pocket ripped off, but I would have ripped off one of my buddy's pockets, too.
Damn.
All right. Well, keep your pockets.
And the best part is, like, your parents, buy the uniform stuff at the beginning of the year, but they had no tolerance for this. So you had to sew the pocket back on, or at least my parents maybe had to sew the pocket back onto the shirt, so I had to make sure I got it retrieved whenever I had mine taken.
But in the long run, you learn sewing, so that's good.
That's right.
That's a life skill. That's home ec. That's home ec. Hey, all right, let's talk injuries. What do we know at this point of the week as far as how the Falcons are doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're still doing pretty good. I mean, they're being very cautious, and this kind of falls in line with, how Raheem Morris has, given these guys rest and kind of prioritized the load management aspect of NFL when it comes to preseason. But so they're giving guys rest days and stuff. There was a bunch of those guys yesterday. I'm actually trying to pull up the injury report from yesterday. But, yeah, like Bijan Robinson, Matthew Judon were just getting rest days yesterday. And some guys were limited as well. Nate Lamon included in that group. But overall, the team was missing Justin Simmons and Troy Anderson. Those are the big names that to keep an eye on today before we go out to practice. Hope to see those guys. It feels like Troy Anderson is less likely to be out there, but we'll see. Justin Simmons seems like he's going to, like, the team is kind of just slow rolling him this week to gear him up for Sunday to be ready to play. Again, no guarantees, but that's just kind of the way that Raheem Morris has kind of teed it up for media so far. So he was not at practice yesterday. I kind of imagine that he'll be limited today and then, maybe get another limited in on Friday, but those are the two big ones we'll be keeping an eye on.
Do we know what it is with Troy, with his ankle?
It's a knee. They've been saying it's a knee,
okay.
But there's no information outside of that because he's being treated day to day. It's obviously not like a situation where he had to have a surgery or anything like that. So I had heard the rumors around are that it's a pain management issue, but I cannot confirm that. Okay. But that is what some people are saying. But I would take that with a bit of a grain of salt because that usually, if there's a pain management thing, it means there's some underlying injury that's causing the problem. So, and make no doubt about it, this team wants to get him back on the field as quickly as possible for a whole boatload of reasons.
Hey, JP, I saw your tweet yesterday. You were talking about the whole new move for Drake London to another position or something like that. I won't say the explanation because I understand what the hell he was talking about, but the explanation that he gave behind Drake doing some different things.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting to me because Drake had given interviews on, what was it, Monday or earlier in the week, Tuesday, I guess it was, that was talking about, one of the big differences for him this year in this new offense, in the Zach Robinson offense, is going, he called it just, I'm playing on a different side of the field. And what he means by that is he's gone from playing the X position, which is usually kind of a receiver that's isolated, mm-hmm. kind of by themselves on one side of the field, and then most of the rest of your receiving core is on the other side of the field. And that X receiver is usually like the dominant guy. That's the alpha receiver that mm-hmm. A lot of these guys have had over the years. But what we're seeing in the NFL recently is teams starting to use maybe their more talented receivers in some of these other positions and some of these other roles. So there's the Z, there's the F receiver. Those are the two that can kind of interchange on that other side of the field. And what that does, and what Raheem Morris was explaining, is that it just allows them to kind of get them on the move a little bit more, to maybe get themselves in some better matchups against different defensive backs on the other side. I think for the Falcons, one of the main reasons for, maybe not one of the main reasons, but one of the main benefits that they get from having Drake London in that role is it allows them to put him in motion where he can actually impact in the run game and the blocking schemes. You talk a lot about what they're calling insert blocks, where they kind of, it's almost like a pin and pull thing where they kind of loop into the offensive line to help seal off the backside. So there's lots of different interesting ways that they're using Drake London. And I just found it interesting because, again, to kind of go back to what I was initially saying, you so often see your dominant, especially the physically large stature guys like Drake London playing in that X role. And I just find it interesting that they've found a different way to use him, and maybe a way that is not kind of the traditional kind of way that you think about using receivers. And it's been a lot of either Darnell Mooney or even Kyle Pitts kind of fulfilling that X receiver role so far this season.
I think interesting is definitely a word I would use just to describe the offense in general over the last couple of games. Certainly effective. They scored a lot of points. What have you seen from the offense and Zach Robinson's play calling specifically, maybe over the last two or three games that wasn't available early, and what are you liking about it?
Yeah, I think they're just able to mix things up a lot more. Like you so clearly tell in that Steelers game, it was a limited offense, and it wasn't that they hadn't practiced other stuff, but they were, I think, cautious in about the way they kind of approached the game offensively and wanting to make sure that they, were accounting for, certain players, or Zach Robinson talked about it a little bit yesterday. Just, they wanted to go a lot of two tight ends in that game because they wanted to account for these edge rushers and some of the guys that the Steelers had up on that front. And I think that what they've learned over the course, really since that game, is that they can actually they don't need to be reacting to everything that defenses are throwing at them, and that they can kind of do what they think is best to kind of get in their best flow, the way that, Kirk Cousins is feeling the game and the way the receivers and line are kind of, feeling the flow of the game, and make defenses have to react to that. And I think that that's exactly what they've shown, especially over these past couple weeks, like you mentioned, Andy, really since that Saints game where, the offense wasn't really flowing in that one. But ever since then, it just feels like there's been such a much better rhythm to this offense. Kirk has talked about it as well, in that he is feeling like he can really anticipate what his receiver is going to be doing a lot better at this point. And a lot of that is not anything super novel, but, Kirk would say it's just time on task. It's time spent together. And the other interesting thing, guys, that I've noticed when you talk to players about this, because, the players understand and that this offense is improving, you don't necessarily bring it up, but they will mention the lack of preseason. The fact that, they're finally just have enough reps under their belts together where they're starting to feel each other out and just have a better understanding of where everybody's going to be on the field. And I think that is maybe the most important thing that's leading to this offense that has such a more fluid feel to it than what we saw early in the season.
Looky here.
It's infuriating. It is what it is.
No, it can't be infuriating no more. Because
I want to say on top of that, because I know a lot of fans are frustrated by it. And, frankly, I think some of the players are frustrated by it. But, that's just the choice that was made this year. And I don't think that's going to change.
That's the reality.
That will continue to be the protocol for this team.
I don't think it's more or less the players want to play. It's like, why aren't we playing?
Yes, teams.
Yeah,
it's teams.
Yeah,
it's coaches. Yeah. It's general managers.
They can fake the fuck all they want to. Like, yeah, I really wanted to play. Yeah, right. You didn't want to play. But you're like, well, I mean, that's what I do.
It's just
player.
Like one of those things in many things in college football right now where it's like, well, I don't like it, but it is what it is. And there's nothing I can do about it. I guess I'll just take it.
Hey, JP, because you are a Buckeyes fan, and I saw your tweet from this past weekend. Where you at with this, JP? With the Ryan?
What was the tweet? What did he say?
He's very upset.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Listen. Will Howard. You don't come to Ohio State to play school and count down time. You come to play football, and that was a boneheaded move that he had at the end of that game, which was unfortunate. But listen, I gotta say, guys. I guess again, when you talk about Andy, about being in the college football world that we live in nowadays, I kind of sat on my couch and was like, okay, they lost. Yeah, and part of that is, I know that Ohio State's a good team. They're going to beat most, I hope they'll beat the rest of the teams in their schedule, especially Michigan. But, just with the new playoff format, I just didn't feel that kind of that sense of dread or terror that sometimes you would feel when your team loses a game unexpectedly. Ultimately, hats off to Oregon. They played a much better game than I thought. And I do feel a little burned by the fact that Dan Lanning pulled off a, you know, Vrabel-esque coaching move at the end of the game there that has caused the NCAA to immediately change the rule for this coming week of games. So Ohio State was the last victim of that that crazy extra man on the field rule.
So you're buying the hype, huh? You think he did it on purpose? I'm not.
Is that not the case?
I don't know. I just
saw that he said that he did.
Anything I can cling to try to discredit them.
Yes.
Because whatever you felt on your couch after that game, I don't understand that feeling, because I didn't feel like that, and my team didn't even play in it. The team that I hate played in it and won. So I felt infuriated about that, and I was like, "Oh, cool! Now everyone's going to talk about how awesome Oregon is and how awesome Dan Lanning is. Cool."
We talked all last year about how great your school was.
That was fun.
Yeah,
that was super fun. I wish we could do that again.
It was like a fever dream.
Yeah, I enjoyed every second of it because I knew that it doesn't happen every single year for us at least. But now they're there. Hopefully they lose a terrible, terrible game soon, Joe. Thank you for the time, as always.
Appreciate
it,
JP.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys.